Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to spend some more time in 1 Corinthians. So much paper, I don't know what to do with my Bible here. I thought what we'd do is continue. Jonathan had come up with this nice little fill-in-the-blank thing, and I thought we'd just continue along that theme, at least for this next chapter. But first, let's review. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, our brother Arnold had come up and said, "Let's. It's a wonderful time since we're coming into this new place. And God has planned this all out. He knows exactly what's taking place. But for us, we want to keep pace. And of course, God's word is always where we want to go when it comes to not only who we want to be, but who we don't want to be." And I would be certainly would want to say that thank goodness for the assembly in Corinth. Thank God for this letter that we've got, 1 Corinthians. We know it's not the first letter to them, but it's 1 Corinthians in the way we keep things in order. Because there was issues at this church, there was issues at this chapel, there was issues with this gathering, this body. This is to brethren, it's not to people outside of the covenant of the Lord. And it's a good time for us to take a look at this and reflect and take the pulse of us from the standpoint of where we're at. And if you remember, just as a brief review, looking at the top half of that page, 1 Corinthians is all about God's plan for divine order in the church. Thank goodness that God is a God of structure. Whether it be in the way His people gather, whether it's in the way that the atonement was made for our sin, whether it be the structure of how He sees the family unit, He sees divine order, and He sees that in the body of the assembly, of the portion of the body that we have here at Western Wake. And I like that second comment there. That would be a good banner to make, wouldn't it? That'd be something that we would want to take our soap in the morning and put out on our mirror, wouldn't we? The church is never, and I think it's a good one to use an absolute term like that. The church is never to reflect the world around it, but always reflect the Savior inside it. Always coming back to that point of who are we representing? What are we representing? How are we representing? Because Christ must have the preeminence. We would never want to just be a mere image of what we can see outside this building. We want to be a reflection always of the Savior that lives inside us, not only as individuals, but collectively as the body. We have this calling, if you remember that. We're called to do things. We have responsibilities. And we take hold of our responsibilities in the fact that we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us, because without Him we can do nothing. But we have this calling. We're called to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, how can I be holy? I can't be holy. You're right, you can't be holy. I'm holy. I live inside you. You can be holy. We're called to one fellowship, one body. The diversity of talents, the diversity of gifts. We thank the Lord for the diversity of the body, but we are one fellowship because it's one body. And we're called to glorify the Lord in everything that we do, even from the smallest to the largest. In fact, I would challenge you to say that God holds the smallest example of glorifying Him as the largest, as equally as the largest example of glorifying Him. Chapter 2. Jonathan challenged us with this indirect question. He says you won't find it in chapter 2 where this is stated, but hey, upon what foundation does your faith stand? We're going to stand on something. We're going to stand for something. We're going to stand on something. What are we standing on? What is our foundation? And that's the beauty of 1 Corinthians, is many times the way the Holy Spirit uses Paul is he shows what not to be looking at. And then, of course, finish that off with what to look at. What are the wrong foundations? Well, the wisdom of men and the rulers of this world. He's canceled the wisdom of this world, right? He's made foolishness. He, that being God, has made the wisdom of this world to be foolishness. Because what we'll do is we want to internalize the project, right? I want to get to God. I want to get closer to God, and I'm going to do it. And that's what I'm going to do, is I'm going to bring something to the table. All right? No. The rulers of this world, absolutely not. They come and go. It's not that that God doesn't install rulers in this world, but they come and go. It was touched upon at the breaking of the bread, right? The high priests. Every year, always a different priest, having to do the same thing for 1 year. We don't look at the rulers of this world when it comes to a foundation. We don't look at the spirit of this world. We know what spirit is in this world. Satan is immersed in the activities globally. We don't look at him. We don't look to the natural man. So many times we can find, whether it be in government, whether it be in entertainment, whether it can even be in the religious realm, right? Natural men come and go. People putting their faith in a individual as being the one who really has got it down pat. And so many times we just see that reaffirmation and the revalidation that we always continually will fall short without the Lord. What is the right foundation? Well, the wisdom of God. The excellency of the knowledge. His wisdom. We only look for His wisdom, for His guidance. And we have to have spiritual things spiritually discerned. Someone could call themselves a spiritualist, but what does that really mean? Well, if they start to get into some type of mantra about what they can do within themselves to generate, well, we know right from the get-go, that's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It's spiritual things, Holy Spirit discerned. That's where we get our guidance. So that's where we're at. So now we're going to go into chapter 3 here. And if we could turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we could we can get started with today's reflections here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and you're still not able to receive it. For you are still carnal. For there are envy, strife, and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Let's just stop for a word of prayer. Father, as we do delve into your word here, as we seek your truths, as we seek your purposes for the church, the body of believers, Father, we come to you with sharp minds and hearts. We want to be receptive again to what you would have us to say. May the things that we cover today be your words to your people here at Western Wake. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It is living. It is powerful. It is able to divide between the bone and marrow. Father, we thank you for what the Word is to us. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, with His guidance, Father, teach us. Teach us to be those people that you want us to be in this place where you have placed your lampstand for the purposes and the causes of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just commit this time to you now and thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first four verses, it's carnal, isn't it? Carnal, carnal, carnal. That's the stuff that he's trying to drive home. But I think the important thing also to notice here is, and I believe most of your translations should have this, is in probably one of the first three or four words, it says, and I, brethren. We're talking about believers here. Let's not lose sight of the fact that correction is coming from God, but it's to people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a refreshing thing, because we're going to trip up, we're going to fall, we're going to have problems, we're going to have issues, but we're still brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does carnal mean? Well, in looking it up in Vines, carnal is simply defined as being controlled by your emotions, being controlled by animal appetites. It's being governed by human nature instead of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We wrestle that. The flesh wrestles against the spirit. It did at the time of the assembly in Corinth, and it happens today. We constantly wrestle in the flesh against the spirit. And if we start with our little fill in the blanks here, and I hope this works out okay. I haven't done this much, so I hope it works out. But we see in chapter 3, this is the question that I would present to you today, right? We talked about divine order of the church. We talked about that critical question in chapter 2, upon what foundation does your faith stand? And here today I would say the question that I would present is, how will we conduct ourselves? How will we conduct ourselves and build on this foundation? How are we to be when it comes to such a great foundation that we have? And we have four types of people that I'd like to just go over briefly. We've touched upon here. The first is, the four types of people, the first one being that natural man. That natural man is unsaved, and he's lacking something that is desperately, absolutely needed to be in a right relationship with God. And if we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you'll have to scratch out 13 in that page. It's really 14, which was one of the sword drills for today. The natural man is desperate for something, because this verse pegs exactly where the problem lies. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual things, spiritually discerned. And you know, beloved, that should not puff us up. We should not be saying, well, you know what? I got the Holy Spirit that's in me. I have spiritual discernment. I have it, and which implies that you don't. All right? It should grieve us. We have loved ones. Go through your priority list. Go through the list of people that you absolutely adore and you love, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this verse speaks to, you know what? In their state today, in their carnal state, as a natural mere man, as Paul would put it, they have no hope of receiving the things of the Spirit of God, because they're spiritually discerned. We need to pray for these people. And we certainly do not want to be following or using these people as an example. That's the first type. The second type is the carnal baby Christian. Growing, but needs all the healthy components of milk. Paul, in these first four verses, speaks of, I fed you milk. All right? Baby carnal Christians, they're growing. They're growing. They want to grow. They want to learn more. But they're limited because of their lack of just simple development. Right? Have been given the entire kingdom of God, whether we've been saved for 2 minutes, 2 years, 20 years, or whatever, a lifetime. All right. There's no separation, or there's no classification of whether you're a new believer or an old believer. But we'll have baby Christians in our midst that will be carnal, just simply because they're working out their salvation. We know that to be true. We need to be careful in feeding them, don't we? Careful in feeding the carnal baby Christian. And they do, like I said, need all of the healthy components of milk. Well, what are some of the healthy components of milk? Salvation. What does salvation mean? Do I have to renew that every day? Is that a policy? Was that an insurance policy? That's what I thought it was. I had to re-up every once in a while. I wasn't quite sure when. All right? I had no concept of eternal salvation. Who is God? Who is God? These are the things that this is the milk of the word, right? Well, who is God? I've heard that, you know, it's a capital G word, I know. It's a proper noun. Well, yeah, he's a God of love, isn't he? He's a God of mercy. Oh, he's a God of kindness. All right? He's a God of peace. But you know what? He's also a God of wrath. And he's also a God of judgment. Right? Those are the things that baby Christians need to be taught. What is the church? Does God invest himself in bricks and mortar? Absolutely not. You know, the church is the body of Christ. It's not those big buildings with those big steeples. All right, those are really nice, and it's good that believers can go there. All right, but that's not the church. That's us as individuals. The milk and the healthy components of the milk of the word. They need to know about the future. They need to know about the nature of humanity. Because we can see, whether we go to the History Channel or the Learning Channel or whatever, and we can see this wonderful timeline of the history of humanity, and humanity is always striving to evolve into something better than itself. No, there's nothing new under the sun, is what the Bible says. Right? What is the true nature of humanity? They need to know the Word of God. They need to know that the authority, the final authority, rests in this wonderful published document that we so easily just are able to pick up. Preserved, published for you and I. We need to be careful that we don't orphan carnal baby Christians, right? Have you seen in the past where someone gets saved? Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. Did you know that person got saved? Okay, now on, go grow and be good and be a mature Christian now, and we'll see you later. No, they need constant care. We don't want to orphan any believers. And I would say here at Western Wake, we want to be chock full of them, don't we? I mean, we want them just hanging from the rafters, making mistakes, asking questions, learning, growing. That's what we want. We want to be packed full of baby Christians. The third one is the stunted carnal Christian. And this is really what the first four verses, I'd say, are probably immersed in this chapter. They're full of what? Envy? Envy and jealousy. Some may have jealousy in their translations. There's a subtle difference between envy and jealousy, just for your own edification. Envy would be, I like what you have, and I'm going to take it from you so I can enjoy it, and you can't enjoy it anymore. That's being envious, right? Being jealous is, I want what you have, so I can enjoy it also. And we see that with ourselves. I mean, hey, gee, someone sees a new car, I want a car like that, right? Or the new toy, I want that toy. My buddy's got this toy, I want the toy. $300? Well, okay, but can I still have it? You know, whatever it might be. That's jealousy. Strife. We know what strife is, as it says in verse 3. Contention, anger, rage, divisions, I think is you might see in your translation. Right? This is the stunted carnal Christian. Still a sister and a brother in Christ? Absolutely. All right, but having some major problems. They're just not the way that they're supposed to be. And they're choosing not to grow in the Lord. Choosing not to grow in the Lord. You know, it has to just grieve the heart of God, doesn't it? Tragic. And I was trying to think of a good analogy here, but everybody I think here knows what Skype is, right? I mean, you can be Skyping, you know, you're Skyping somebody, you're talking with them. What a great way to communicate! And all you can see is their face. And it's maybe an older teenager, maybe a young adult, and you're talking and you're having a conversation, and then all of a sudden, the web camera pulls back. And this person has like the body of a 3-year-old. And it's like, well, that's horrible. I mean, we visually would say, well, that's horrible. We need to get them to the doctor. We need to throw resources. We have to have a fundraiser. There's going to be medical bills. There's going to be help. The person's going to need to be cared for. So from a human standpoint, we can see whenever there's a disease in the body or there's something malfunctioning in the body, right? It just tugs at our heartstrings. And we want to do something about it. Well, wouldn't you say the same thing about a stunted, carnal Christian? Poised, I have here, poised, ready, in the blocks, poised to grow and develop and be a God honor and have a God-honoring life. Just everything's ready. Knows the Lord as Savior, gets to some point, and then something happens, and of course, God has a total plan for him, right? This was the path that I have for you, right? And never gets out of the car seat. Never gets out of the high chair, all right? and then all of a sudden doesn't feel either good about themselves or good about anybody else in the body, and all of a sudden there's envy, strife, divisions. You can see how it kind of plays out, how it could just grieve the heart of God. And the church is awash in these issues today. Paul saw it then, and we see it now. And what a great example that we have, that we can see these things and proactively either avoid them or wash ourselves of them. The stunted carnal Christian is known for carnality. It's viewed as the norm at times, isn't it? Well, you know, they're going to go through a phase. It's okay to rebel. They go to church when they're young, and then they leave the fellowship. I have people that are very close to me, all right, that are there. This is exactly where they're at. And they may never come back. Well, it's just the way it is. Well, it's not the way it's supposed to be, right? It's not the way it's supposed to be. So we have this stunted, carnal Christian, full of envy, jealous, and strife, and choosing not to grow in the Lord. Characteristics, they walk in the flesh. They cause divisions. That's in that second verse, I think, of chapter 3. Third verse, envy, strife, and divisions among you. Do baby Christians cause divisions? Usually not. They're just drinking it up. You know, they're just getting it. They're just starting to, everything's new to them, right? Is it the spiritual ones in the body? No, because they're looking to invest themselves in the body. They want to know where they can participate and be, you know, be involved, be immersed. It's usually the stunted cardinal Christian that is causing division. And has God stopped the growth process? Has He just brought these people, us, whoever it might be, you know, think of something. Has God just stopped? I can't go any further with this one, you know. Rendered useless. Put them up on the shelf. Thank you very much. No. My Father works unceasingly and I work. Well, isn't that work in us? The believer has stopped the growing process. It's by choice that we stop things. God doesn't stop things. He will finalize His perfect work in us, all right? But the believer chooses to stop. We have a choice in this matter. Is it too costly, maybe? Hey, stay out of that closet, God. I want that closet. Everything in that closet is something that I enjoy, and I want to have it, even though it is basically a defilement to you. It's too costly. Or the believer rebels against the perceived result. Well, I see where you're taking me, Lord. But you know what? I like that crowd. I like those people. I mean mine. You know, all of a sudden it becomes an I thing rather than a Him thing. All right? He must have the preeminence. And you notice I said that there's four types there. There's only three I've noted. The last one is a spiritual person, and you can fill that in, because that's who we want to be, a spiritual person. Growing, a spiritual person's growing. We don't have to be a giant of the faith. We're not a Peter or a Paul or John. I mean, it doesn't mean that we can't be. I mean, God, does He love us any less than those pillars of the faith? No, He's not a discerner of men. Growing, not necessarily a giant, developing, maturing, allowing the Holy Spirit to work, moving in those areas that may be a little bit of a friction for us, all right? Causing us to grow, challenging us to grow. Well, we need, spiritual people need things also, right? We still love the milk of the word. Don't we just love to go back, right? Take me back to when I first believed. Do you remember? I couldn't close my Bible. I couldn't close it when I first came in. I just read, you know, I loved it. Take me back to those things. But we need milk also, right? We need to hear those verses. Do you know you're to present yourself as a living sacrifice to God? Well, a living sacrifice? Well, if I look up the word sacrifice, that means maybe suffering. That means maybe inconvenience. Well, that's meat. Yes, that's right. That's exactly what that means. Spiritual people need to be shown how to feed themselves. That's where we want to take the baby Christians to, right? When those questions get asked, well, hey, let's open your Bible here. show a person how to feed themselves by the Word of God. Fellowship and accountability as a body of believers, right? It's wonderful to have fellowship. And it's also wonderful to have accountability. It's not that shallow thing that we're looking for, right? Oh, hi, how are you? Nice. Everything good? Yeah, everything's fine. Everything good? Yeah, everything's fine. Okay, have a nice day. Okay, have a nice day. I mean, those are nice, all right? But hopefully that we mature and develop into a body that can say, you know, brother, sister, I'm struggling in this area and I really would like to talk to you about it. I really would like somebody that I could help, that would help me to work through this, all right? I need to be accountable in this area. Not fluff. A spiritual person needs to find, develop, and exercise gifts. Growing in the gifts, all right? Yes, we're one fellowship, we're one body, all right? But we're not robots. We're not all the same. We have diversity. In fact, we may have things that might even, we feel that it might even be a conflict, all right? But we know, wait, what's God doing? He's bringing it all together. He's weaving the fabric, and all of a sudden, my weaknesses are an area that you have strength in. Hey, my strength is an area that you have weakness. Hey, how did he do that? I mean, those are the things, those aha moments, all right, working out our relationship. I just have these as thoughts. Our basic need as a body here at Western Wake is to continually grow. Are we growing? Doesn't mean numbers, right? It just means, are we growing? Are we growing as the body of Christ, praising the Lord, giving Him the preeminence here in this place and in our lives? Not saying no to God. We don't say no, there's no God. But so many times we can say, no God. No God. Mm-mm. It stunts growth. Here's the Lord saying, here's how I want you to act as a body, as the body that I've put together for you. Verses 5 through 17. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believe, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one of you take heed on how he builds on it. For no other foundation, let me say that again, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work as to what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. He himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Some thoughts on this is, who do we follow? Who do we follow as a body? Now, if we were to think about it, a lot of times we think of an organizational chart, don't we? Well, I want to go right to the top of the organizational chart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's absolutely true, right? But we do follow people. Every one of you, I would assume, has a favorite, maybe Christian writer. You may have a favorite Christian speaker. You may have favorite resources that you go to. There may be individuals that you look to from the standpoint of seeking spiritual guidance, whatever that might be. And that's why God puts us together, all right? So we do follow people. We are followers of people. And Paul says it here, but we need to be careful, don't we? We need to make sure that we've got we've got our heads on right when it comes to this. So who do we follow? Well, we follow a servant of God, right? If there's anybody that we're going to invest our time in and learn from, we should be looking for true servants of God. And Paul's laying that out here, isn't he? Well, what to look for? Well, we should look for a person who has the heart to do the mind and the will of God. He has the heart to do God's will. What is the characteristics of a servant is the fill-in here, all right? He has the heart and will of God. Well, how can I do that? Well, if I can ask, I see Unnel's got his do you have 1 Corinthians, the last verse of 1 Corinthians 2?
1:2, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ.
Okay, keep that in mind, okay? We did a study on that at one time, right? You and I, we have the mind of Christ, right? Well, I don't think I got... No, you have the mind of Christ. God's word states that we have the mind of Christ. So we are discerner of people. We need to be Bereans, right? And we need to be looking for those people that we are going to listen to when it comes to the things of God, that they have the heart to do God's will. They depend on God. That's really verse 6. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. All right? If somebody was to take the last third of that verse off of there, well, we would start to question, right? That's all we can do is plant and water. We can't do anything else. And if anybody is saying that they can, they're somebody that we need to walk away from. They depend on God. Verse 7, without God they are nothing. He must increase, I must decrease, right? The Baptist had it right. He must increase, I must decrease. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but God gives the increase. That's a servant of God. Builds carefully. That's the third bullet there. He builds carefully. We need to build carefully in this body. And what are some of the attributes of building carefully? Well, the foundation is nothing more than the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing that the instructions are simple as that, all right? Well, we're ready to build. Okay, get the instruction manual out. What's the instruction? What about the foundation? It's the person of Christ, that's it. But was there anything else? Don't we have to do anything to that before we can start to prepare it? No, it's the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else. We look for people that we're receptive to that they've actually built something, right? I mean, something that we can tangibly look at as individuals and say, oh, okay, I can see where this person's coming from, all right? And I can see what the fruit of their labors are. And validate that. Again, it's a Western Wake Berean Bible Chapel, all right? We want to see something that's actually built. Not like, well, you know, if you listen to this, that, or the other thing, eventually you're going to get it. Well, has anybody else gotten it? Well, no, you'll get it. So, well, wait a minute. It's just common sense. Materials are important when we build, right? Quality materials. We found that out. I remember the men probably know this, but the first baseboard that Jonathan had picked up. Hey, it looked okay. The outside was great, but there was this horrible, messy goo on the back of it. I mean, you couldn't even put it out, right? It wasn't quality materials. Had to go back, get something that's usable. We can use that analogy when it comes to building carefully. What are quality materials when it comes to as we grow in this assembly, as we grow in this body? Sound doctrine. We need to know the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. Sound doctrine. Communication, the manner of our speech. The business term would be, what are our tactics, right? When it comes to conveying things, all right? We are to do things in love. We are to be patient, long-suffering, understanding individuals, all right? Not driven by our emotion, but by the Spirit of God, spiritually discerning what we really want to accomplish, and we want to use Scripture. I think if any one of the men was to come up here and speak for 45 minutes and not mention one thing of Scripture, wait, I mean, that's what we're building on, all right? That's our foundation. Wisdom will be blessed. Foolishness will suffer loss. This passage here says, what's being worked on? Well, we're being worked on. What a wonderful thing. We are a work. We're a work in progress. We're a work in process. And how does the Lord see that? We are the temple of the living God. What a privilege. Put a value on that. At work, we're trying to do some work from the standpoint of a product line and trying to value it as a company from the standpoint of having to sell it. Well, how about valuing the temple of the living God? So who's doing the building? Just servants. We're all servants here. Servants' hearts. The Lord Jesus was a servant. We just have a servant's heart. Giving God the increase, knowing that the increase comes from God. All will be judged. That's a good thing, isn't it? Paul looked forward to that day. And we should look forward to the day. Sure, are there things that we're going to suffer loss on? Absolutely. All right. But it's a good thing that all will be judged. And the Holy Spirit motivates us, right? Or at least should be motivating us in our day-to-day lives, saying, you know, I really want to go out with those guys, but I'm going to suffer loss if I do because I know what's going to happen. If I say that, where am I really going with this? If I say that to somebody, I'm going to suffer. I mean, those are the mind. You know, that's the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. We want to be prompted by Him. We don't want to be continually grieving the Holy Spirit, because what ends up happening? We become desensitized to it. We don't know it anymore. We're so numb. We just go ahead and do it. You know? Strife, envy, contention, division. You know, those are the things that happen in the body. What will be judged? Everything, right? How we conduct ourselves as in our lives after we've been saved. You know, the sin issue's been dealt with. How are we now dealing with our relationship with God? Our parenthood, our son as a daughter, as a spouse. 2 Corinthians 5:10, you just turn there briefly, states this: judgment is a good thing. We need to have it. We need to keep it. It's the future. It's part of the components of milk. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." I hope everybody's version says that, right? We must all appear. It's not some of you may have to, or it may be happening to you that you will. "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." But Paul, I think, put it perfectly. I think we touched upon it today. For me to live is Christ, it's all about what Christ wants. But if I was to die, oh, that'd be great gain, because then I'd be with him. Right? Yeah, this is good. This is the best. But this is even better. Okay, I'm going to go to spiritual growth. This is all about growing, right? Paul's urging the body to grow. You need to grow out of this, all right? You need to grow out of this. And what are some of the things with spiritual growth? It's a gradual thing. Normally, it's a gradual process whereby God uses the events in our lives to mature the relationship, right? Now, sometimes there are great strides. If you read a Bible verse 15 times, 100 times, all of a sudden, it's that 101st time, it's like, I understand it now. And I can even apply it here because, well, that's God gradually bringing the process together, right? It's usually a gradual thing. We live in this world of instant gratification. Well, I only have to microwave that for 2 minutes, and then I just have to stir it and then microwave it for another minute and then sit for a minute, and then I'm eating, right? Well, so why can't I do that with my spiritual growth? No. It's balanced. In that all aspects of our lives are affected. not just what we choose. Nikita Khrushchev, right? Premier of Russia when it was a big state. He memorized the Gospel of John. Wow. Memorize the entire Gospel of John. Would we say he's a spiritual man? No. We'd look at his life and we'd see death and destruction. Don't know if he's in heaven, but I mean, I'm going to learn a lot of things here when it comes to God, all right? But if it's not applied, if there's things we want to keep in our closet, growth is a balanced thing. All aspects of our Christian life is involved, not just what we select, right? There's no ceiling to our growth. See, that's a ceiling, roof ceiling. The analogy that I have here is that we can outknow our teachers today, right? And the one I used is June could teach me Swahili. We could spend time and I could learn Swahili and I could know and speak it as fluently as June. But then I could even take that further, right? I mean, I could start to find the dialects maybe that are used and certain one-offs of it, and I could look at it grammatically and I could just take it to another level where at some point in time I could know more about the language of Swahili than June, right? But that's not so with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no ceiling. We'll never outgrow our Savior. In so many ways, we'll never outlove Him. We'll never outlove His grace, His mercy, His loving kindness towards us. There's no ceiling here. Go ahead and test it. Let's test it. Let's see how far we can take it. Growth must produce fruit in our lives. It must. Fruit must be displayed in our lives. If we don't see fruit in some aspect, all right, then we have issues. The fruit of the Spirit we know is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? That's the fruit. Against there is no such law. Why would there have to be? It's exactly what God wants. There's no law against that. Right? We are dead. We've crucified our passions, Galatians 5 says. We've crucified our passions and our desires. Right? In Romans we see where Paul says, I reckon myself dead to sin. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. There has to be fruit. And I'm running out of time. Verse 18 to 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. How can a natural person discern that verse right there? What are you talking about? All right? But yes, okay, put away the things of the world and drink in the wisdom of God. All right? You can't do them both at the same time. All right? Or it becomes the Bible is literature. Or it becomes an intellectual exercise. All right? My head is 20,000 miles from my heart. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. But He's patient with it, right? He'll, come on, let us reason together, all right? I know where you're coming, it's foolishness to me, but I love you so much, come on, let us reason together. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Futile. That means the end is nothing. It's a vapor, there's nothing to it. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death. I mean, can you see these huge mountains he's just moving together? Here, these are all yours, okay? He's just moving all this stuff in front of you. Not only are these people yours, but the world or life or death or things present. So now it's not necessarily tangible things. Now he's folding the whole timeline of eternity into what he's laying in front of us. Things present or things to come, all are yours. Well, how can they all be mine? Well, because you are Christ's, and Christ is God. how do we conduct ourselves with so great a salvation that is before us in chapter 3? Unity as a body of believers. We are one in Christ. All of those mountains that he lays before us in these last couple of verses, everything that he shows us, this is all yours. This is all yours, okay? It's all a resource that you can pull from. These are people that you can tap into, learn from them, all right? Well, how are they mine? Because there's no division. Because we're one in Christ. We're always building up the church. It's that, you know, this one. Got to take the pulse. This is the bigger vein, right, in the neck. So let's make sure that we can really grab it, okay, and feel it, all right? Are we building up the church? What are we doing here? Right? Is this for the general good of the believer as an individual or collectively as the body? Those are the sanity checks. And the more we do that, the more it becomes almost commonplace for us. We should bring that before the Lord. We're always a builder. We don't want to deceive ourselves because it's so easily. I like how our brother said, we're forgetful people. We need to be reminded of things. At the breaking of bread, we need to be reminded. How many times did God go back to the nation of Israel? Remember, remember, remember. I would say that the first part of verse 18 is the same thing that we have to bring up to ourselves every once in a while. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And hey, remember, don't be deceived. Yeah. Never deceiving ourselves, knowing all things are yours in Christ Jesus. We have that quiet confidence that all things are ours. All right. We are powerful individuals because we are Christ's and Christ is God's. We don't want to be decisive or exclusive. Because sometimes we can look at the speck in someone's eye and we're avoiding the plank that's in our own eye. Well, you know, I've got a little problem with the doctrine here, okay? But wait, they're bringing all of this into me, which is really what God wants me to know, all right? Well, okay, let's not be exclusive here, right? Let's not be divisive. We don't want to cut ourselves off of what God really wants to teach us. We want to be discerners of men. We're the Western Awake Berean Bible Chapel. All right, we want to be discerners. All right, we should question. All right, we should challenge, but we certainly do not want to limit ourselves. He's given us a great gift. His timing is perfect. He wants us to grow, and he wants us to conduct ourselves correctly, and he wants us to build correctly on his foundation, which is Christ Jesus alone. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your word. We thank you for what you call out in us, because so many times we want to hide it. We want to put it under a stone. Father, thank you for showing us, to reveal to us in this example of the church at Corinth, where we can see who we are and what we can become. And through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that we can grow, that we can conduct ourselves, we can always present the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can build upon that right foundation. Father, just thank you so much for the body here. Thank you so much for the things that you are doing in and through us. And we just give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.